Welcome to Broads, Books, and Booze. This is your host, Jamie.
And Monica. Hello, hello.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to another exciting episode. Woohoo! We are a little bit slightly delayed, but that does not mean that we have less quality.
Yes, it was my fault. I had an injured tooth and was not up for talking.
But it will be. It will still be fantastic and fine. So, I picked the book, What Doesn't Kill Us Makes Us, by Mike Mariani.
And actually, this has been my favorite book of the year.
Oh!
I really liked it.
I really liked it, too. Mm-hmm. I have a list of discussion questions that I got from the publisher, from randomhousebooks.com. And it's really interesting because it is personal stories of five different people told throughout the book.
Yeah, and I felt like he did a really good job, and he must have really in-depthly interviewed and talked to these people over a long period of time.
I felt like he must have had to live with them for like a year.
I mean, it seems like he knew about them. Yeah.
I would like to like listen to him be interviewed about how he wrote the book. Because it was really, really good, really detailed.
A lot of personal information, and you really got to know the characters. People. They weren't even characters.
Yeah, they were
people.
Just real people that real things happened to, with real interesting stories, and definitely a lot to think about and consider when reading their stories.
Yeah, actually a good one at the beginning of November, because it definitely gives you a lot to be thankful for.
It sure does. Mm-hmm. It sure does. Okay, so the first question is, before reading the book, how did you think people changed after experiencing catastrophic life events such as paralysis, limb loss, blindness, incarceration, etc.? Did your idea of life-altering change? Why or why not?
You know, I guess when I thought of something like that happening, I didn't really consider how life goes on. I guess I would always just get stuck in that, oh my gosh, what if this happened? It would be so horrible. You know?
Right.
You
can imagine the after, like, there's a line of division, the before and the after.
Right. I don't think I ever, you know, if somebody gets in a car accident or something like that, and you're just like, oh my gosh, you know, what if this could have happened? And, so I guess it never really occurred to me, and I feel lucky for that I haven't had to deal with anything like that happening to somebody close that I know. So
the closest that I've come to this sort of situation is our collective trauma from COVID.
Yeah.
And that there's definitely a defining line of before and after, but it didn't necessarily affect me the way these stories affected those people. So I couldn't really relate to them, but it did completely change my thought of how people change after traumatic events. And I had never considered incarceration to be a life-altering event to the extent that it was.
I learned a lot about the incarceration because, first of all, you know, a lot of times prisons really aren't about justice. A lot of times they,
punishment.
You know, they're punishment, but they're also, you know, there's this systemic racism, and then there's the profit. You know,
so
these
much.
Prisons are for profit.
Right.
So they don't really do a good job of taking into consideration you become a non-person, you're a prisoner, you know, and it's, I guess I never really realized how awful that would be.
Right. I was not aware either, and I was very surprised.
Yeah.
So the second question is, have you experienced a life-changing event, which we just touched on a little bit, where like, no, not really. I mean, like, kind of a COVID, but what was it like reading about other people's experiences?
Well, it's funny because the author has a diagnosis of chronic fatigue syndrome, which actually I do too. And also I just saw a doctor and have another diagnosis of Ehlers-Danlos
syndrome.
Yes. And I haven't really looked into it too much yet. I don't really know a whole lot about it. I know I've been feeling awful. And it was very validating reading the author's story of some of the things he went through and some of the changes that he made in his life so that he could better function. And I was like, wait, I can do that? Like, I don't have to just keep doing the life that I'm doing right now and suffer and be miserable forever. So I guess I did have a little bit of an epiphany moment about that while I was reading the book.
I found it very eye-opening learning their experiences, and I especially pondered about the girl that had the TMI, the traumatic brain injury,
yes,
and how she was still the same person. She still had all the same memories. She still had come from this family, but she was so different to everyone around her who knew her before that she was like a different person to them, and how isolating and lonely that was for her. I just found her story so fascinating, and it really made me question of like, what makes you you and how are you you? Because she has the same genetics. She has the same body. She has the same everything that she did before the event, but people obviously perceive her as somebody else.
Yeah, that was very fascinating.
And I was like, this is blowing my mind. Like, I can't even wrap myself around this. I'm like, how could you define who she is?
Right.
I'm like, you can't. Mm-mm. And it's all based on her lack of impulse.
Yeah, her personality became much more outgoing. She was very introverted before, right, and sort of quiet and everything, and became much more extroverted and outgoing. And actually, a lot of her future success was helped by that personality change. Not that she, to say, wouldn't have had success before, but it really took her life in a totally different direction.
Yeah.
Than she would have gone in before. It was very interesting.
Her story is the most fascinating to me. Mm-hmm. I just sat there and pondered her life for hours.
Yeah.
So our third question is, how do you feel about the validity or veracity of Nietzsche's famous maxim, "What doesn't kill me makes me stronger"? Did this book change your opinion of that phrase or facilitate the development of a more nuanced understanding of it?
Well, we're not big Nietzsche fans.
I am not. I like to kick him in the groin.
Well, I think "what doesn't kill us makes us stronger" when you're going through something really hard makes you feel horrible for not being stronger. You know, and like the author said, it's such an ingrained part of, like, people just say it all the time, even not even knowing where it comes from, that right, it makes you feel like, oh, God, this should be forging my personality in steel. You know, I should be getting stronger by this.
If I can go through this, you can go through it too. How about, no, this just sucks.
Yeah.
And it's gonna suck.
It kind of stops people from wanting to be vulnerable and honest. And it makes people kind of like hide their suffering, I think.
I feel like it does a genuine disservice to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like, terrible things happen and it breaks people, and they feel like they can't validate that broken part of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it puts unrealistic expectations on tragedy.
Completely. Completely. Yeah. So our next question is, what is the relationship between tragedy and identity?
Ooh, that is a good question. Like our traumatic brain injury person in the story, but I think tragedy really does change you as a person, and I think it makes you consider your identity more. I think when you go through hard things, you become a lot more like inwardly reflective, whereas
I would think some people do, some people may not.
Well, that's true. I mean, I guess, yeah, you can't talk in you know, totalities, I suppose.
Right. So I personally would not want to be defined by a tragedy. I would want to feel that I'm more than like a blind woman, an amputee, a convict felon, a car accident, paraplegic. And I feel like if you link them too much, it can like sort of pigeonhole people. into their identities. Like, I'm a paraplegic. I'm like, no, you're a whole person who is also a paraplegic.
I see exactly what you're saying. That's very true.
I'm like, I don't want there to be a relationship between them because I wouldn't want to be seen that way.
And I think that that becomes easier the more we get to know people.
Right.
And unfortunately, a lot of these situations are pretty isolating.
And I feel like as a society, people do use some of these tragedy and replace their identity with it.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a felon. Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one.
Right?
Yeah. And especially when, you know, if you go through and you serve your sentence or whatever and you're supposedly done, you're rehabilitated.
I've done my due diligence.
But it follows you through your whole life.
Yeah. And it keeps you from being able to fully be a citizen again.
Yeah.
You're excluded from a lot of things. Yeah. And especially if you're needing help, you lack access to a lot of resources that other people would have. Mm-hmm. So it really does make somebody not a full citizen.
Yeah, and it puts somebody behind everybody else. It's like you would have to work, you know, three times as hard just to be where a person who hasn't gone through that would just be normally, you know?
Right, you have lack of access to certain jobs, certain types of education, even simple assistance program like housing and food.
I believe there are certain states where your voting is also, if you're a felon, that you can't vote.
Oh.
I could be wrong, but...
Maybe not. I know, like, if you're incarcerated, you can't vote. Mm-hmm. So that's basically making a person a slave. Like, hey, do all this labor for basically free, 25 cents an hour.
Oh my gosh, I know. Yeah, the total, anywhere where you can follow the money like that, people's rights are being violated, I guarantee it. You know, something so for profit where the people who are stuck in the system really have little control over their situation.
Right.
It was scary.
It was very scary.
Especially, like, with the young kid who, you know, when you hear their side of the story, you can maybe know a teenager or something who could be dumb enough to get themselves into that kind of situation. And you can see how someone that you really love and care about could throw their whole life away.
Becoming addicted to opioids. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, completely. Like, I strongly feel that drug addiction is a healthcare issue, not a social sort of justice system issue.
Yeah.
And that we don't treat people to help their addictions. We punish people for it and make them second-class citizens.
And we wonder why they go back to it right. Once they're out of...
Like, it's so hard to remain sober.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely don't facilitate that in any way. Yeah. So, our next question. How did the author's own experiences inform or complicate your understanding of how people change after catastrophic life events? So, I personally liked his story and his understanding of why he took on this book. I'm like, how he wrote it, and then like just the courage to write it, like especially when you're reading about his chronic fatigue syndrome, how he just couldn't comprehend things and was struggling to write, and like, and he's writing this very wordy at times book, and you're like,
he did like him a $5 word, didn't he?
Yeah, I was like, I'm genuinely very impressed by this, especially with some of this vocabulary from somebody who struggles to stay awake. I'm like,
yeah, I feel like that was his inspiration, and so I feel like his story really did add to the book and was a necessary part of the book. And he does say throughout it all, you know, gosh, I haven't been through some of the things these people have been through, but the small ways that my life was changed was so huge to me that it really shows how much a person can handle.
Right.
And overcome, I guess.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it definitely puts people who have chronic pain in a better perspective for a lot of people who don't experience it or know somebody who does.
And I think the fact that he, and I know this is going to sound wrong coming out of my mouth, but I think the fact that he is a man talking about having chronic fatigue, it unfortunately in our society gives it more validity.
I don't disagree with you.
And, you know, it shouldn't be that way, but it is that way.
It completely is.
Yeah. And so I feel like he does a service to women who do have chronic fatigue syndrome by talking about it and giving it some validity as a diagnosis and as something that affects your life and how you can live it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. Sadly.
Yeah.
So, number six. Were there any particular subjects or experiences that you strongly related to? How so? So, you talked about yours, and I really enjoyed all of chapter six, and that was the chapter on vulnerability. So, like that, everybody, every story had... was involved in chapter six on the vulnerability. In that entire chapter, I'm like, if you're just going to read one chapter, I'm like, read that one. I thought, like, I really identified with that vulnerability that they all showed and went through.
Yeah. It's hard to do that, but it's also very important for people to see you, your identity, who you really are. You have to be willing to be vulnerable a little bit like that.
Yeah. So, the next question, I forgot my copy of the book because I wrote down a page number I was going to read from.
Oh.
How do you compare Nietzsche's ubiquitous maximum to the concept of amor fati? Is one superior or more truthful than the other?
Now, the other one is basically just, like, live in the moment, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I like live in the moment. I think it's good advice for anybody.
And, like, Nietzsche, he was a jerk. Huh. He lived a miserable life. He was just looking for validation for being in chronic pain.
Yeah.
So, I'm like, why does everybody gotta think he's so great? He's not.
He was kind of mean, wasn't he?
Yeah. So, and then our last question. What do you think of the title, What Doesn't Kill Us Makes Us? What is the significance of removing stronger from the quote? Are resilience and strength the same thing? And what does it mean to be made by an experience?
Ooh, I'm curious to hear your answer for this one.
So, I felt that removing stronger is appropriate. It may not make you stronger, but it definitely leaves a mark. And I feel that resilience can be strength. That having resilience does give you flexibility, which is a strength for your personality, being able to overcome or at least deal with, accept. Sometimes just even accepting, I think, is a resilience, which is a strength, in my opinion. And to be made, I feel it is like, it's just a mark that permanently is put upon you for your entire life. Like when he talked about in the book, the before line and the after line. If there's an event that you can talk about before the event and then an after that, I feel like that's what is to be made, like, is to be marked.
I think removing the stronger, what it does is it gives you permission to be a more nuanced whole human being. Like, you don't have to go through this event and just be better and stronger. I mean, because I think everybody went through lots of ups and downs, just like you do as a normal person all the time.
Right.
So I feel like it makes it much more true. Like, if you read them both together and you read it without the stronger, it feels more real. Don't you think?
Right.
I think so.
I used to work in retail with a woman who was in a motorcycle accident, and she was definitely a completely different person after. She spent 6 months in the hospital, similar to what happened to the one girl in the book. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like she was stronger after the accident. I felt like when she suffered chronic headaches and mm-hmm. migraines, she had a change in personality. She had a change in her IQ. I'm like, she was changed, but I wouldn't say stronger.
Right.
She definitely wasn't happier.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, I'm like, sometimes tragic things happen and it just sucks and people are different.
Yeah.
It doesn't make them stronger.
And you know, though, even talking about all these horrible things that happened in the book, somehow it wasn't a huge downer.
No, it wasn't.
No.
It wasn't at all. It was people just telling their story.
Yeah, and it really reminded me of some of, like, the self-help type books that we used to read, although it wasn't really self-helpy. It was just more of, like, understanding your fellow human beings from their perspective. I don't know. There was just something about it. I really, really liked this book.
I loved the book. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my gosh, how am I going to read this book when I started it? But like, I devoured it. I was like, nom, nom, nom,
me
nom,
too. Nom. Me too. Yeah.
So that's definitely a recommend.
Yeah. From
two
both
thumbs
of us,
up.
For sure.
Was there any parting thoughts that you have?
No, I think we covered pretty much everything. And I think us talking about it, this is a book, there's so much in it, you just really have to read it.
We say that all the time.
Yeah, but this one, it's really true.
It's so true. That's true every time. Just read the book.
Yes.
So, thank you so much for listening, everyone.
Bye.
Have a great week.